Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
For our talk today, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. If you're new to the Bible, you can find the book of Proverbs kind of right in the middle of a paper Bible. I know a lot of you will look it up on a device if you want to. Proverbs 4. Opening thought for the talk. Balloon illustration. Ba, ba, ba. Here's the concept. Ready? It's not too deep. We leak. We leak. Just, you didn't flinch at all, John. John's like, whatever. All right. Here's what I mean by we leak. You might wake up tomorrow morning having a good morning, just the right amount of coffee. Things are good. You had a good night's sleep. Life is good. You're headed to work or to school. And on your way to school, you know, you're feeling full, feeling good. And then you get to the one railroad track and a train's going across and then it stops. Have you been there? And you're like, wait a minute, I got to get to work, I got to get to class. And here's the concept is what, ready? We leak. While you sit there, you're going. All that good stuff that you've, right, that you've had in you is draining away. And you're losing some of that life that was, we leak. Relationally, you meet a new friend. And, you know, you've been getting together, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, week 6, you're talking, you're like, this is a great new friendship. And then in the midst of the conversation, they say, oh, I voted for. And your relational equity just went, whoa, right? All right. Financially, you think you're going to get a refund. And you thought you were good. I thought about maybe in a romantic relationship, you met Mr. or Mrs. Wonderful, and so you fall in love and you get married, and then the years begin to go by, and at year 6, we leak. You get the concept? We do. So here's an idea for you to consider. Life is not just about filling up. It's about managing leakage, which is a horrible word, isn't it? Leakage. Okay, we'll move on though. This idea that we leak and that life is about managing both filling up and managing what's going away. This is, there are indications that the spiritual life works like that too. Does that make sense? There are things that fill us up, and there are things that will suck the life out of our spiritual life. Here's a couple Bible verses that came to mind. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, the writer is talking to somebody, and he says, you were running a good spiritual race. Who cut in on you? In other words, you were in a good place, probably spiritually, had energy to keep going. And now something happened. They leaked, arguably. Another Bible verse, Revelation 2. God is speaking to an entire city, a group of people, a group of churches in a city. And he says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. And he says, consider how far you have fallen. Something's happened. They were here and something, you know, leaked. Matthew 24 speaks of a time when many will turn away from the faith and the love of most will grow cold. One more verse, I think, in Timothy. I think this idea of leaking or things diminish is why Paul said to one guy he was mentoring in the Bible, and he says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." In other words, you got to keep tending that fire, because otherwise that fire will go out because we leak. Hold those thoughts. We're in a series called Overflow. And part of the hope of the series is that we would live in the fullness of God, the fullness of life, as best we can. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how do we manage life in such a way so that we can stay full. And some of that has to do with managing our tendency to move toward empty. And we're going to learn from Proverbs chapter 4 a tiny bit about this section. The writer of the book of Proverbs, almost all of the book of Proverbs is written by a guy named Solomon, who was gifted with wisdom. If you want to explore that, he asked the Lord about leading, and God said, "I'll give you whatever you want." And Solomon asked God, "Make me wise." And God like poured out wisdom on this guy. And so in this chapter 4, this man Solomon is actually speaking to some of his children as he's writing. He's at least thinking of his children. And he's talking to sons, and he's giving them advice. Now, by the way, I think we can assume, any half good dad for his children want them to live a full life. Amen? Like, that's, we all want good stuff for our kids. And in that context, he's giving advice to his son at this point. And in verse 20, here's what he says. He says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." See, he wants his life, his son's life, to be full. And then he says this. This is where we'll dwell. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." Title of the talk is Overflow of the Heart. And I'm going to give you a couple ideas from this text, basically strategies to how to keep your heart full. So I don't know where your heart is today, your spirit, whether you're like really full or whether things aren't going great. But my hope is that this talk will give us principles that'll help us for most or more of our life be full. Let me pray. Father, basically, I got some things that I think you want me to say. But if you're not the primary teacher in the room, this won't work. So once again this week, we just say, teach us, Lord, talk to us, bring all that you bring to the table, and it'll be good. So help us in Jesus' name, amen. Two ideas from this section of the Bible. The first one is this: a full heart requires a protective posture. If you're making notes on the handout you received on the way in, there's a place for notes. A full heart requires a protective posture. I thought about saying like protective measures, same thing. But in our text, I get this from, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart." Guard your heart. Now here, the word for heart, here in the original language, which is Hebrew, it's the inner man, it's the inner man, it's the mind, the will, the heart. It's kind of close to the soul. A couple weeks ago, we talked about our souls. So it's this inside stuff. And then the word guard, we'll dwell on a little bit, because it says guard it. And that word describes a place of confinement, jail, prison. It means to guard or to diligently keep watch over your heart, your soul. So a picture that came to my mind would be that of a soldier guarding with the assignment of guarding something, right? They know what they're supposed to do. Like if they were guarding a gate or guarding a road, their job is to manage something, whatever's coming in. No, wait, you got to go through me. And some things they will say, halt, who goes there? And they will say, yeah, you're not coming in. And other times they will say, oh, okay, you're who, what? Yeah, all right, come on in. So this is this idea of guarding. Now, I don't think this is a unknown principle in our life. We do this a lot. How many of you have alerts like on your phone for your bank account stuff that says, oh, hey, wait, someone just took out $78. Is that okay? Is this strange, right? Do we have, a lot of us, have we have apps that, and we're just guarding things that matter to us. How many of you have a lot of passwords? Okay, what's yours? Go ahead, just, that's a joke. Right, we have passwords. Why? Because there are things that are important that we want to protect and guard and manage, and so you can get in, but you don't let everybody, all that stuff. What other examples of guard? Did you know the home security system business in 2022 is a $61 billion business? There's a lot of people guarding things. I also thought of some folks that are, what are they're guarding, they're kind of like ingredient zealots, where when you're at the store, there might be some of us in here and you're at the store and you think, oh, I think I'll buy this. And then you turn over and you read all the ingredients because you're guarding, right? And you get to benzamocahucanine and you're like, right, that ain't getting in my body. It's hucanine number 7. That's the worst ever. And so we guard hucanine number 7, Braden. I just made that up. Did you know that's not in my notes? Hucanine number 7. It's not there. Okay, but we know how to guard things. Amen? Like we do this. But with the Bible, what God is challenging, even commanding us to do, here's a way you can write it down. In the midst of a guarded life, don't forget your heart. Just pause there for a moment. Don't forget your heart. Don't forget to guard your heart. And it's even more than that. Solomon, the writer, he says in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. And I think if we think about this a little bit, there's a place where this makes sense. Because if I end up a little off financially because something doesn't work in my accounts or whatever, like that's a irritation and a bummer. But if I have a broken heart, I can't get out of bed. Does that make sense? You want to experience deep pain? It has to do with our soul. And so God, out of his love for us, has written in the scriptures, above all else, guard your heart. Just another thing to consider from the text, it goes on in verse 23, guard your heart. It says, everything you do flows from it. And we might have to take a moment to get there mentally. I think sometimes we make the mistake and we think, I won't go that way. How about this? If you have a really great day today, spiritually, it's mostly because of your heart condition. Everything you do flows from your heart. If you do really well today, you're kind to people, and you're honoring to God, and you're all those things, that flows from your heart. By the same token, if you're a stinker today, all day, we think, oh, no, that's because of everybody else. And then I would say, I'd probably push into it. God would push in and say, no. This is not on them. This is flowing out of your heart, which, by the way, is good news, because who has control over our own heart? We do. This is a tangent. I felt it all of a sudden. I could get animated right now. Do not fall. I have average words coming to my mind right now. Do not fall for the crap the horrible idea that my life is my life because of what they did to me or what those people are doing or because of the left or the right or the right. Most of our heart, joy or situation or fullness, most of it, not all of it, most of it is a bunch in our control on how we guard it, how we bring things in. Does that make sense? It's good preaching, Mark. Good try. Okay, I tried. So maybe that didn't work. Welcome to the vineyard. Some things don't work. It's real life. Above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is talking to some, they were religious people, but they weren't good religious people. They were Pharisees, they call them Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were just bad. And Jesus says, you brood of vipers. Read your Bibles, everybody, because it helps us to have the right understanding of who Jesus was. Jesus was not nicey-nice warm all the time. He says to these people who are hurting people, they were messed up, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? And he says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Talking about guarding your heart, managing your heart. There's an Old Testament guy named David. He becomes a king. He's really a model for faith, a punch of his life. He does so well with God and with people and all that stuff. And I wonder if some of that is not connected to the kind of prayers that he prayed. He prays in Psalm 51 this. He says to the Lord, create in me a pure heart. And I think God answered that prayer for him. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. All right, you get it. Heart, guard your heart. Out of our heart flows everything. So two hints on how to manage our heart. First idea, and this is a fill in the blank, open it liberally, like widely. If something good is filling your soul, God is bringing, it could come through a person, it could be through God's Spirit, it could be something that you're doing, and it is filling up your soul. Open wide to that. If God is like there was a heavenly faucet and he's like pouring something good into your soul, suck it up aggressively. Take it in. So this last, Tuesday or Wednesday, I got up in the morning and I typically try to do some time with God in the morning. And for several months now, I've been listening to a specific song. I talked about it a few weeks ago. And it's just been a good song for my soul to connect with God. So I listened to that song. It's about a 7-minute song. And then another song came on because I was listening off my phone. And it was just a really good song. And it began to, I was like, oh, this is going to be good for my soul. And instead of listening to the song, I shut it off and thought, oh, I better get started with some stuff. It wasn't really that I was in a rush, but I thought, oh, well, nope, I just listened to one song a day. That's all. Just one song. And it was like God came close to me and said something like, you idiot, why would you not take another 5 minutes to listen to another song while I pour this good stuff into your soul? Have you ever had God say to you, you idiot? Come into my world. He says it fairly regularly. And it was a really good, helpful thing for me because it just reminded me of sometimes how goofy we can be, I can be, when God is pouring something good into your heart, like you're reading your Bible and things are going really well, you're in a relationship that builds you up, and then we limit those things instead of saying, come on, I'm going to need, by the way, we're going to need everything we can to stay full. So if you're in a good place or you've got a good spiritual practice, jump in, open your heart widely to that. Okay. Open it liberally. Second hint, close it aggressively. That's when something dumb or bad or evil is coming in. Shut it down. To use the balloon illustration, tie it off. I wonder if... Oh, I have another illustration here. Have you ever... Uh-oh, confession. I don't know if I can tell you that. Shoot. Okay. This is going to be bad. It's not that bad. There's way worse in my life. You ever drink out of the carton milk? Yeah, you're like, shh, all the time. By the way, if you come to our home, we'll have a fresh gallon for you. But no, nowhere in my life, if you ever started to drink curdled milk where you do the, you know, all right, and you're like, oh, how long does it take you to stop drinking? There's no one in the world that would go, oh, that's bad. There's some application there to spiritual things. When your spiritual warning lights come up and you're, this is not helpful for my soul, shut it down. I think Jesus practiced this guarding his heart thing. I'll just give you this idea to consider. When Jesus was going to the cross to die for your sin and my sin, it was a horrible day. People were yelling at him. They were accusing him of things. They were beating the crap out of him. Since I said crap earlier, I might as well say it. It's horrible. And in the midst of it all, 96% of the time, Jesus was silent the whole time. And at one point in Matthew chapter 27, one of the leaders, his name is Pilate, he asked Jesus, he says, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? It says, but Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge. Theory. I think Jesus is guarding his heart. I think people were yelling stuff, hating, accusing. And I think when Pilate says, aren't you going to say anything? I think Jesus is like, huh? I'm not letting any of that in. Because I still have to love these people for another 3 hours. And... before I die on the right? Because if he lets that junk in, that could change all of eternity. So he's like guarding his heart from all that stuff. I don't know that that's what he was doing, but something to think about. So the first idea was a full heart requires a protective posture. Second thing, a full heart requires verbal discipline. This is a pretty easy concept, verbal discipline. What we do with our language matters in filling our own selves up and being helpful to others. We'll get back to the text in a minute. Wednesday evening, came home from work here at the church. Good day, pretty good day at the church. Got home 6:30, maybe a little bit later than that. Went in, my wife had just got home from work as well. She was laying on the bed and I came in and... But it was a good day, and I don't know why, but instead of focusing on the 16 things that went well, I started the conversation with the 3 things that were challenges. Have you ever done this? I walked in, and I don't even remember what they were. And so I started talking, and I can wrap this. So I started talking, and I really even think while I was talking, I think God was even poking me like, shut up, like, shut up. But I went on for about 20 minutes. At the end of a 20-minute conversation, like at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, my wife said something like this to me. Well, that conversation sucked the life out of me. I was like, yeah, that's what I did. I did that to her. And I did that to me. Because why? I didn't manage my conversation. In our text, above all else, guard your heart, says, keep the next words of advice to his son. Keep your mouth free of perversity, keeping corrupt talk far from your lips. This points to a really simple concept that we all have experienced, I would guess. You can write this in. The management of our speech matters. We know this. If you know nothing about the Bible or you're just exploring God, you still know this. The management of our speech matters. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life, which is great stuff, or death, which sucks the life out of us. Another Bible verse in James is talking about the power of language and what we say, what topics we talk about, and what we just are silent on, and how we approach it. It says, takes ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. And it goes on to compare the little rudder that guides a huge ship it's a comparison to the tongue. And so much of our life experience is connected to what comes out of this really pretty small part of our body. It's how we manage that. It can be super powerful or deadly. Two examples. Beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. God the Father, the Creator, starts the whole amazing, wonderful, beautiful creation that's around us. And here's what it says. The earth was formless and empty and dark. And it says, and God said. He spoke. And it started this whirlwind of wonderful things all around us. It's the power of language. It's the power of what's spoken. Go two chapters more in the Bible. One of the worst days in human history. The serpent, the devil, approaches Adam and Eve. And it says he was crafty, more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And what's the downfall where sin enters the picture? He said. It's all started with a bad direction in a conversation. It can be super powerful or deadly. So we're going to finish our time with this challenge. It'll come up on the screen. It's a fill in the blank, I think. It's for all of us. Would you be exceptional in managing your words? That's a challenge for us. That's an invitation. Would you be exceptional? And I want to dwell here for a minute because I think it's easy to go, oh yeah, because of the way we feel here. Oh yeah, oh that makes sense. That'd be helpful. But it's not that easy in the world we live in. Because I think our world is generally pretty out of control with the whole language speech thing. People are spewing out opinions that are not necessarily helpful to anybody. Hating whatever. And does that make sense? Like, we're not doing very well at controlling our language and bringing life to people. But wouldn't it be great if there were some people that were diligent about it? By the way, if you want to stand out in a crowd and have people admire you, if you want to be able to impact lives, how you manage what you say, when you say, is huge. It is huge. You will be remarkable if you do this. Last thought. This is one of those talks that reminded me of my need for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if we're going to live a life that's full, if we're going to live a full life, the principles we talked about today, that'll help. But can I also say, if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with God, it's not going to work. I mean, it may work better, but the real key to that, did you know the word for God's spirit is wind? It's pneuma. And God is the kind of God who blows, if you will, life into our lives. And without him, it's hard. How do you know even with him, it's hard? Amen? Without him, good luck. So, that reminds me of our need for personal relationship with God. The second thing that reminds me of need for personal relationship with Jesus as our Savior is this idea of how hurtful language can be, and in my life, how often I have sinned against people and against God with my words. Bible verse. Scary Bible verse. Jesus said, I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Another translation says, careless words. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. I'm going to include you all in this. Sorry. Just in our words, we have committed enough sin to create punishment forever. Because you hurt that person that God loves. How many times? Because you said this, you said this, you did this. Some of us know, right? We've screwed up multiple times the language thing. This doesn't even touch on like the 14 other areas that we often sin or have sinned in our life. Just this language thing is enough to take me to hell and be punished. So what's the good news in all this? That's why Jesus came and took the punishment on the cross. And so if you have never said to Jesus, I need a Savior. By the way, that's using your mouth to do something really good. It's a confession of, I need forgiveness, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. You need to think about that. And if you're far from God, you wandered, which is so easy to do, you should run back. Don't stay away from God. Life doesn't work well without Him. And eternity will even get worse. And with Him, it's going to be awesome. So we don't usually do this, but I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads during the final prayer. And I'm going to give people an opportunity. Kind of just between you and God, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If today you feel the Lord saying in your heart, come back to me. Or maybe it's for the first time. Like, this may be the, you know, it's the third time you've like ever been in a church or whatever, and you're like, oh. But God is kind of tapping you on the shoulder and say, I love you enough to die on the cross so that I won't have to punish you. If you feel the nudge to commit or recommit your life in the direction of God, I'm going to ask you to, and again, everybody have your heads bowed, eyes closed. Those of you that are doing that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand where you are, keep it up, and I'm going to include you in this final prayer. Anybody today, just raise your hand like I'm committing or recommitting. I see several. I see a few hands like I'm committing, recommitting. I need God. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I need forgiveness for all my sin. Oh, there's quite a few in the room. So God, I pray, keep your hand up for just a minute. I pray for everyone with their hand up. Lord, I know that you see them way more than I see them. And will you make this moment a solid moment where there's a direction change in their life and that you would be in the center? By the way, if your hand's up, one of the things that you should consider is getting baptized as an association with Jesus Christ. It's very important. We have baptism classes coming up. We're going to do baptisms on Easter. What a great time to get baptized. And so you can get on our website and sign up for that. Okay, you can put your hands down. God, we just as a church pray a blessing on all those spiritual movement moments like that. And for everyone else in the room, for those maybe even listening online, we need your help. Fill us. I ask for a supernatural ability to guard our hearts today, this week, and even for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.